This is News from the Center. The AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The busiest airport in Europe is shut down this morning. Heathrow in London closed because of a power outage. 1,300 flights a day go in and out of that airport, none of them taking off or landing. A new warning to the owners of heavily traveled bridges across the U.S.
The National Transportation Safety Board now urging dozens of bridges across the country be assessed for risk of collapse if hit by a ship. Among them, the Brooklyn Bridge, Golden Gate Bridge, Chicago Skyway Bridge, and the Benjamin Franklin Bridge in Pennsylvania. The recommendation comes as NTSB officials release new details about the collapse of Baltimore's Key Bridge. It's been nearly a year since a cargo ship lost power, slamming into the bridge, causing it to collapse, killing six people. Officials saying the disaster could have been avoided.
ABC's Andrew Dimbert, President Trump, Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth, and Elon Musk himself denying a report that claims the military will brief Musk today on plans for any war that might break out with China. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. After well over a year of hype surrounding the show Severance, I finally had to check it out. 40 minutes into episode 1 of season 1, I had more questions than answers, but the pilot closed strong. Despite being a slow starter, the sci-fi mystery about a group of office workers who discover that their work memories and personal life memories have been surgically separated is a critic's darling, pulling a 96% on Rotten Tomatoes. I will have more information as I continue the binge. The premiere date for season 2 of The Last of Us is right around the corner. Recently, it was revealed that series co-lead Bella Ramsey was diagnosed with autism. Making the story even more interesting was that it was a crew member on the set whose daughter has autism who suggested Ramsey get tested while season 1 was still being shot. Ramsey says they believe this will help them as an actor, as they have always been someone who watches and studies people. Season 2 of The Last of Us drops April 13th on Max. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
More March Madness. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball, the NCAA tournament, continues tonight in Cleveland with the Marquette Golden Eagles against the New Mexico Lobos. Tip-off time at 6:25. The Badgers will play Brigham Young tomorrow night in Denver at 6:25. Wisconsin beating the Montana Grizzlies 85-66. Head coach Greg Gard able to give all of his guys some playing time, including Carter Gilmore. 8 points, 6 rebounds.
Our bench has been one of our strengths throughout the year. We've gotten great contributions off it. You saw Amos tonight. McGee's done that throughout the year. Janicki's done it at times. And then obviously Gilmore.
NBA, the Bucks rolled over the Lakers in L.A. last night, 118-89. Their road trip continues tomorrow night in Sacramento against the Kings. Women's college hockey, number one ranked Wisconsin against Minnesota tonight in the semifinals of the Frozen Four. The winner advancing to the championship Sunday at the Ritter Arena in Minneapolis. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Musk is so arrogant that he is even intervening right here in the state of Wisconsin.
Republican Rep. Brian Stile said in a statement that Sanders was on a fear-mongering tour. Maybe he should be afraid when billionaires can buy the presidency, when billionaires can buy elections. I think that's a little scary.
And I think so.
We, the people, should do something about it.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we continue on location from Richland Center, Wisconsin. We'll have the general manager of WRCO, WRCE, Phil Nee, and host of Those Were the Days, and look at our brackets. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Mostly cloudy and a little breezy today. We'll get to the low to mid 50s this afternoon with wind southwest gusting to 30 to 35. Tonight, mostly clear, low of 24. Tomorrow, sunshine 44 with rain likely tomorrow night into Sunday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 31.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Barry Mack, you were supposed to be on the show about 3 weeks ago, but I got really sick. Like, I slept on a mattress that you might have driven to the dump.
Still like last time, I am actively smuggling in mattresses from Minnesota because they recycle them for free.
You should probably keep that on the download.
Well, yeah, but how am I going to get any business unless I start talking about it, Pete?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Dom Salvia.
Next time, former U.S. Attorney James Santel will discuss if the Trump administration is defying court orders or just being cute. Plus, did the administration commit fraud and mass firings at the IRS? Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
So let me start us off with a question on a finally Friday morning. Is Wisconsin rural in 2025? Our geographic makeup, what do you think? Is Wisconsin still rural? Or are things changing? You can use our talk text line and chime in. That's one of the conversations we're having this morning. That talk text line, 877-301-FARM, 877-301-3276. This is a question that comes up a lot when it comes to policy development, but there's no firm figures, no actual data that really answers that question until now. The Rural Policy Institute has released some really interesting demographics, some hard science facts about the makeup of Wisconsin. We'll get to a sliver of that conversation this morning, but chime in and let me know what you think. Is Wisconsin still rural in 2025? Weather-wise, no matter where you are, in town or out in the country, it is going to be windy. But we look a little better today. Partly sunny, 55 our expected high. Breezy, though, out of the south, gusting up to 35 miles an hour. Another chance of rain tonight, probably before 10 o'clock. Overnight lows back down to around 22 with that wind persisting. Sunny on Saturday, 42. Saturday night, another chance of rain or snow, depending on where you are. More rain on Sunday. Daytime highs around 50 degrees. How much of that rain are we going to get? That's one of the questions I've already got lined up in my mind for Stu Muck. He'll join us in about 15 minutes.
When it comes to supporting Wisconsin's dairy industry, there's a lot happening behind the scenes to keep things moving forward. From promoting dairy products across the country to investing in research, there's a strong effort to boost sales and connect with consumers. Sandy Madlin, a member of the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin Board of Directors, explains more about these key focus areas.
Their programming focuses on three main areas to drive demand and boost the state's dairy economy through sales, both nationally and globally. Those three areas are marketing, getting our cheese and our products out there. You know, 99% of grocery stores in the United States have Wisconsin cheese in them. The next area is research. We have the Center for Dairy Research, and they just do a lot of work with research on new products and troubleshooting and supporting everything from small farmstead cheeses to, you know, large processors. And then the other area is education. DFW provides a lot of support and resources to help dairy farmers, myself included, you know, so we can build a bridge to our consumers.
To learn more, visit wisconsindairy.org.
Looking to grow new ideas for your farm? Then visit the WPS Farm Show. For 63 years, farmers have been coming to the show for the latest in farm equipment, services, and technology to boost their business. Don't miss this year's show, filled with ideas to help you grow. Mark your calendar for April 1st through the 3rd at the EAA Grounds in Oshkosh. For more information and a full list of exhibitors, visit WisconsinPublicService.com.
The final answers on tariffs aren't available yet, but they do seem to be a fact of life going forward. I'm Bob Osel from the northern end of the world's longest barn in Eau Claire. So when tariffs are put in place next month, barring more delays or maybe even cancellations, what effect might they have on dairy prices? Leonard Polzin, UW Extension Dairy Outreach Specialist, said we need to realize how important our dairy exports are in helping keep farm prices workable.
When we kind of take a look at why tariffs are important, I think it's important to realize that, you know, about one-fifth of our dairy components are exported, and our main source of industry growth over the last 10 years has been from exports. In fact, when you take a look at where, over the last 20 years, when we kind of take a look at where return on assets have been best over those 20 years, we find that one of the biggest drivers on the farm level is those years that we have high exports.
So with these tariffs, though, I can't imagine imagine you're expecting this to be one of the years of high exports.
That's for sure. If tariffs are in effect and continue to be so, we're definitely going to see big impacts on that farm level, right?
How much do you think they might drop? I mean, it's probably speculation now. China, Mexico, and Canada are our biggest customers for dairy, but we're talking the world here.
Yep. So they make up 40%. China and Mexico and Canada make up 40% of our export market. You know, when we're in the world market, our prices have to be below world market to the tune of that transportation and logistic cost. So where our advantage comes in is to our trading partners to the north and south. So anything that happens to them relationship-wise makes a big difference to the U.S. dairy economy specifically. But when we kind of take a look at where the impacts are going to be encompassing the entire dairy complex, and once we've kind of seen these full supply and demand effects, we kind of estimate right now that all milk price would decrease from approximately $1.90 to $1.20, and that class 3 price we would see a decrease in about $2.86 to about $2.41. So when we think about how that matters on the farm level, if we take a look at net farm income from operations for medium-sized dairy, so we're talking, you know, that 250 cow size, we would see a decrease anywhere from about $27,000 to about $56,000 in that net farm operating income. So definitely large impacts on that farm level, big decreases in the value of U.S. exports, decreases in cheese sales, cheese prices, things like this. So nothing happens in isolation in the policy world, and I think this would have large rippling effects, not only straight to the farm level, but through the supply chain.
How long do you think before this really takes full effect, as we're right here now in the spring? Do you expect these prices to drop like a rock now? I mean, they already have. We don't have any $19 milk anymore. How long before we don't have any $18 or $17 milk from the sound of it?
Yeah, so that's the big question right now that we don't have very specific information on. So the market has started pricing these in. But what we haven't seen yet is, and what the market's waiting for in order to see this full effect, you know, until we get to say that almost $3 decrease in milk price, is we need to see those inventories build. We need to see inventories build from less exports, kind of hit all of the feedback mechanisms all the way through the supply chain until we see that full effect. Right now, I think the market is still waiting to see how long that takes and where these changes are going to take place before they try to fully price in all of that.
So how long will this take? I'm thinking of the old days when your dad and your grandpa, your dad's still on the farm, but your grandpa was milking cows. It used to be, we talked about, well, we have 1 pound more milk than we have called for in the marketplace. That's a surplus. Consumer goods, we make more TVs or cars, that's inventory, and they don't lower the price. So how vulnerable is the dairy industry to this situation?
So that's a great question, because right now, over the last 12 to 18 months, when you hear on the demand side how we have been for dairy, generally as a dairy complex, almost all of the folks on that wholesale side say, you know, we are steady. Lackluster, maybe a little bit on the downside, but, you know, we're meeting it. There isn't a whole lot of surplus demand that's built up. So it's been steady as it goes, which means that we do see quite a bit of price sensitivity out there. As this happens, as inventories build, we're going to be increasingly price sensitive. And those buyers, if they really believe prices are going to go down, they're going to hold out until, you know, we do see kind of that leveling on that bottom side.
As the inventory, are we talking about milk inventory, butter inventory, cheese inventories? They all have to go down, or just one is enough to trigger a drop?
So right here in the Midwest, cheese is the one to really be watching. We've been low on cheese stocks recently this year, especially compared to previous years. But with all of the new processing capacity coming online, we haven't really taken this low cheese inventory as a market signal that, hey, you know, we need to be watching this. So they've been looking at that as more of, oh, you know, we have refrigerator space. Well, now if our exports go down and we get more of these products, we could build inventories rather quickly. And we've seen in the cheese space, we've been range bound on price, not only at the wholesale level, but also at the retail level for quite some time. I think any change that's outside of seasonal is the market is going to take quite a bit of credence in.
The cheese in the government caves full, or, you know, that's something that we've watched, these government supplies. Where are we at there, and how much can the government take off the market? And would this government, you feel, take anything off the market to help alleviate price pressure?
Yeah, that's the thing, is kind of knowing where the appetite is of the administration and their policies is kind of the wild card at the moment. Because, you know, historically we've seen things like that. Right now I haven't seen any signaling that says that they do have a propensity or an appetite to trigger some of those things. So to credit USDA, they have been talking about, you know, other programs that they're trying to roll out and support and things like this. So I would definitely put it in the maybe column. column. But, you know, if we're, we have done some modeling work to take a look at where compensatory payments or government payments would need to be in order to offset some of these tariff effects. And they have to be quite large in order to get back to our baseline values without tariffs. So we looked at kind of where our the government payments were kind of on the last round during the previous Trump administration, and we would have to surpass those of what were made in order, on the dairy side at least, to get back to the pre-tariff levels.
Maybe a little different issue here, the Farm Bill. Do you feel DMC and MILC are going to be continued?
So dairy margin coverage is still, enrollment is still going on for that. I encourage folks to sign up. Our enrollments thus far have been lower than they have been in the previous years, especially for Wisconsin. So,
and that's not good.
That is not good. I think there's enough downside price risk at the moment that the market doesn't even know how to price in at the moment. I think, you know, having some sort of minimum price risk protection, margin risk protection is a very good thing. When we look at it from the policy standpoint, there's always a lot of discussions around, do we increase that tier one coverage? Do we make adjustments to the program? And kind of at the end of the day, it all comes down to appropriations, right? So any change is going to cost money in that program. And until we know how likely they are to do that, that's always the big wild card. Right now, it seems like they're talking more about cuts to the Farm Bill, specifically in those nutrition programs. And if that does happen, I mean, approximately 10% of our fluid milk is sold through school lunches and through some of these, you know, food assistance programs. So we would see a pretty noticeable effect there, too, if we do see decrease in funding to the Farm Bill on those nutrition programs.
So a lot of balls in the air right now as far as dairy is concerned. Thanks, Leonard. Leonard Polzin, dairy economist at the University of Wisconsin College of Ag and Life Sciences. Again, keep an eye on things in the dairy industry because the situation right now, things could change and probably not for the better as far as prices for dairy farmers. Leonard Polzin, UW Extension Dairy Outreach Specialist, with his thoughts on how these tariffs will affect the dairy industry in Wisconsin and around the country going forward. From the northern end of the world's longest barn in Eau Claire, I'm Bob Bosold.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
News from the Center, WRCE.
Time for the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. A record number of visitors toured America's national parks and monuments last year, including sites here in Wisconsin. More than 331 million people flocked to national parks in 2024. Here in Wisconsin, Apostle Islands and the St. Croix Scenic National Riverway both saw boosts in visitors. It's unclear, though, what the summer travel season will hold this year after the Trump administration fired 1,000 National Parks employees across the country on Valentine's Day. Time to say happy birthday to our state parks. This year, Wisconsin's state park system turns 125. Our oldest park is Interstate Park, located along the St. Croix National Scenic Riverway, established back in 1900. For a deep dive into environmental issues and what you can do to protect Wisconsin's water, air, and land, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wounded Warrior Project has been there for me since that first day in the hospital. They got me out of the house. They got me connected with other veterans, and they helped me face my PTSD. They support me and my family at every turn. And now I'm helping other warriors realize that they're not alone.
Through our hands-on programs, supportive community, and ongoing advocacy, we help post-9/11 veterans realize what's possible. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding, just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. This is News from the Center, WRCE. Maggie Dawn.
Hey, everybody. I'm taking a little bit of a spring break, but we got a very special best of episode for you. And look forward to John and Gordy in the seat for the Maggie Dawn Show next week.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Geography, that should give us an answer. But you tell me what you think. Is Wisconsin still rural? Stumach Ag Meteorologist joining us. What do you think? Is Wisconsin still rural?
I want it to be.
Yeah, I know. I agree with you there. I think people, if they take a look at the report after our conversation, they'll find their answers are that we'll see what everybody has to say about it this morning. But stick around for the conversation. Conversation this morning, we're going to look a little prettier today. But boy, that wind is still going to be formidable, huh?
The wind is still going to be an issue, Pam. I mean, today, somewhat for tomorrow, but more so as we look towards Sunday again, a windy couple of shots here in the weekend and a couple of chances of precipitation. There's a low out west of Minnesota this morning, not amounting to much of anything, a little scattered light rain in northern South Dakota and western Minnesota, very scattered light snow in North Dakota. There'll be some chance in northern Wisconsin of a little snow, maybe a rain snow mix. Southern Wisconsin holding off till a bit of a light rain mix could be around later this evening, just into the nighttime. None of it going to amount to much. We don't have a major storm coming in, but a little precipitation yet later today or tonight in Wisconsin. We look at the next system, another low that's going to take aim on Minnesota and northern Wisconsin through Sunday. That's going to lead to Saturday night in the west, a little precipitation, and Sunday, a mix. Again, some March precipitation. Rain could mix with snow early and late in the day. Oh, I don't expect a lot of snow, maybe an inch or so in many areas. Could be a couple of inches in the far northwest. And we're going to talk about a little rainfall. Not a great deal there either. Quarter to half inch amounts the way it looks right now. But we'll see how things shape up heading through the weekend. That precipitation wrapping up the weekend for Sunday and Sunday night. And by Monday, we stay a little cool yet. Actually, just a little cooler than normal by a degree or two. Nothing drastic there either. Just a little cool down, some warm up as we make our way on toward Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. We have a little drier spell into next week. Probably sounding like better news after a couple of shots of moisture. Not a great deal tonight, and just a little as we make our way through Sunday, and then some better conditions in terms of temps. They'll start to turn out here for next week. I'll have forecast details right after this.
As a dairy farmer, you depend on your milk receiver pump. McFinn Technologies of Kenosha introduces the impressive Bopeller pump. It's quieter, there's lower maintenance, as the seals last much longer than your old milk receiver pump. It offers a more powerful cleaning cycle with higher velocities, and it doesn't degrade the quality of your milk. Ask your dealer for the Bopeller milk receiver pump. Patented by McFinn Technologies, an American company committed to providing a better product for the dairy industry.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
As a proud sponsor of the WIAA, Rural Mutual roots for all of Wisconsin student athletes. Whether they're a hometown hero or they dream of the national spotlight, sportsmanship keeps Wisconsin strong. Visit ruralmutual.com/WIAA to learn more about how they support high school athletics.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
When it's time to choose a residual herbicide for your soybeans, you need broad-spectrum weed control that lasts. Zidua Pro and Zidua SC herbicides by BASF give your crop up to 2 more weeks of residual weed control, providing 50% more control than other Group 15 residuals. The long-lasting herbicide portfolio protects your soybeans from even the toughest weeds while providing a steady growing environment for the entire season. Talk to your retailer today about adding Zidua Pro and Zidua SC herbicides to your 2025 plan. Always read and follow label directions.
All right, time for our Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update. Go ahead, Stu, with the details.
All right, well, more partly sunny skies in the south today, more clouds further north. There could be a little sprinkly rain or a couple of snowflakes in far northwest Wisconsin yet this afternoon. I expect temps ought to be in the upper 40s north toward mid-50s in the south. And the southwest wind strong, 10 to 20, they gust near 30. That chance of rain or snow in the south ending tonight. Skies even clearing out before daybreak, and we get cold. Single digits north near 20 south. West and north winds, 5 to 15, gusting to 25. For Saturday, not a bad day. Sunshine, temps a little cool in the 30s, maybe a 40 in the south. Northwest winds only 5 to 10. And then that chance of a little rain or snow Saturday night, rain early, some snow early and late Sunday, Pam. Temperatures in the mid and upper 40s, southeast and southwest winds gusting to 25. Like I said, not a lot of rain, but it will be a little damp here wrapping up the weekend.
All right, good enough. Our rainfall reporters will get busy then, Stu. Thanks. Stu Muck, Ag Meteorologist with our Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update. Compeer Financial is your financial partner with agriculture as well as rural America. Find out more and tap into their great webinars at compeer.com. All right, rainfall reporters, let us know if you've got a tally so far. And then the question of the morning is Wisconsin rural? What do you think? You can use our talk text line for that response as well, 877-301-FARM. And stick around for my conversation with the Rural Policy Institute on soon new information
this
they reveal.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
News from the Center, WRCE.
Celebrate the women who have helped shape the world as we honor Women's History Month with powerful stories of Wisconsin's own. We appreciate the groundbreaking efforts of Janine Geske. She dedicated her career to transforming the criminal justice landscape. Geske taught in prison and collaborated with victims groups. She continued to champion for change as a justice on the Wisconsin Supreme Court during the 1990s. And in recognition of her impact, she was named the Milwaukee Bar's Lawyer of the Year twice. She also made history in 2002 as the first and still the only woman to serve as Milwaukee County Executive, an interim role worked without pay. Geske's now a professor of law at Marquette University's Restorative Justice Initiative, which she founded in 2005. We recognize the powerful women from the past and those who are still writing their own history today. I'm Jane Matnair.
Time for the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. A record number of visitors toured America's national parks and monuments last year, including sites here in Wisconsin. More than 331 million people flocked to national parks in 2024. Here in Wisconsin, Apostle Islands and the St. Croix Scenic National Riverway both saw boosts in visitors. It's unclear, though, what the summer travel season will hold this year after the Trump administration fired 1,000 National Parks employees across the country on Valentine's Day. Time to say happy birthday to our state parks. This year, Wisconsin's state park system turns 125. Our oldest park is Interstate Park, located along the St. Croix National Scenic Riverway, established back in 1900. For a deep dive into environmental issues and what you can do to protect Wisconsin's water, air, and land, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Todd Alba Show.
Let's go to Ollie in the Northwoods. Ollie, hiccups or gas, what's worse?
Well, I'd like to frame my answer in the form of a sports. It depends upon whether you're a passer or a receiver.
That's great. Whether you're the passer or the receiver, that's the best line of the day.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The busiest airport in Europe is shut down this morning. Heathrow in London closed because of a power outage. 1,300 flights a day go in and out of that airport, none of them taking off or landing. A new warning to the owners of heavily traveled bridges across the U.S.
The National Transportation Safety Board now urging dozens of bridges across the country be assessed for risk of collapse if hit by a ship. Among them, the Brooklyn Bridge, Golden Gate Bridge, Chicago Skyway Bridge, and the Benjamin Franklin Bridge in Pennsylvania. The recommendation comes as NTSB officials release new details about the collapse of Baltimore's Key Bridge. It's been nearly a year since a cargo ship lost power, slamming into the bridge, causing it to collapse, killing six people. Officials saying the disaster could have been avoided.
ABC's Andrew Dimbert, President Trump, Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth, and Elon Musk himself denying a report that claims the military will brief Musk today on plans for any war that might break out with China. This is ABC News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. It's looking more and more like we should all avoid heading to the theaters to see The Alto Knights, where Robert De Niro plays gangsters Frank Costello and Vito Genovese. That's right, he plays both roles. Despite what producers thought was a solid script and Barry Levinson directing, the crime thriller is drawing only 38% on Rotten Tomatoes. Not sure if De Niro playing two roles has anything to do with it, but how hard could it have been to find another actor and not rely on a gimmick? Actress Jenny Slate initially supported her co-star Blake Lively in her sexual harassment complaints against Justin Baldoni. The three actors were all in the film It Ends With Us, where the controversy started. In a recent interview with The Hollywood Reporter, Slate, the star of Bob's Burgers and FX's new series Dying for Sex, says she only wanted to talk about her new show and will no longer discuss anything involving Baldoni, Lively, or It Ends With Us. All this drama will no doubt be a miniseries one day. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
More March Madness. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball, the NCAA tournament, continues tonight in Cleveland with the Marquette Golden Eagles against the New Mexico Lobos. Tip-off time at 6:25. The Badgers will play Brigham Young tomorrow night in Denver at 6:25. Wisconsin beating the Montana Grizzlies 85-66. Head coach Greg Gard able to give all of his guys some playing time, including Carter Gilmore. 8 points, 6 rebounds.
Our bench has been one of our strengths throughout the year. We've gotten great contributions off it. You saw Amos tonight. McGee's done that throughout the year. Janicki's done it at times. And then obviously Gilmore.
NBA, the Bucks rolled over the Lakers in L.A. last night, 118-89. Their road trip continues tomorrow night in Sacramento against the Kings. Women's college hockey, number one ranked Wisconsin against Minnesota tonight in the semifinals of the Frozen Four. The winner advancing to the championship Sunday at the Ritter Arena in Minneapolis. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
We're talking about Trump tariffs as well as other news for Wisconsin with Dr. Kristen Lierley in the first hour. Hari Kundabolu is our guest in the second hour, and this shouldn't be a thing. Don't miss it.
Mattenair on air, weekday mornings at 10. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Mostly cloudy and a little breezy today. We'll get to the low to mid 50s this afternoon with wind southwest gusting to 30 to 35. Tonight, mostly clear, low of 24. Tomorrow, sunshine 44 with rain likely tomorrow night into Sunday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 34.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. A Washington state audit of rejected 2020 mail-in ballots offers insight on whose ballots are more likely to be rejected and recommends actions to reduce that number, over 37,000 in 2024. Primary reasons for rejection include ballots received or postmarked after Election Day, a missing signature on a ballot envelope, or the voter's signature couldn't be confirmed. Auditors found 2020 rates varied from a high of 1.5% in Franklin County to 0.02% in Columbia County. But they also found higher rejections of younger voters, 18 to 21, where 2.6% of ballots were rejected, and black voters at 2.5%. They also found that non-native English speakers were 47% more likely to have ballots rejected. Signature issues can often be cured, but many voters don't or can't correct it. The auditors recommended outreach programs on college campuses, sending letters and calling voters with curable signature issues, more training on signature verification, opening early voting centers 18 days before the election, an advisory committee for disabled voters, and ballot drop boxes for every 15,000 voters. In the 2024 general election, Washington's statewide rejection rate had dropped to 0.94%, but of those, over 24,000 were rejected for a mismatched signature. Find a link to the audit at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.
Earl Ingram.
Do you live your life in fear, man? Republicans continue to lead people to believe the boogeyman's coming to get you. It's those immigrants. It's people of color. They're coming to get your babies. Never mind. You live in River Hills, where there's very little crime, if any. What are you afraid of, man? Nobody's coming to get you. And yet, people buy into that foolishness.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
L.A. Tom, L.A., what do you got for us?
We do have a woman problem in this country. There is an issue there that needs to be solved if we are ever to have a female president.
Look, Mexico has a president. You know, Margaret Thatcher. Had, I know. You know, it's just all over the world. I mean,
you have to remember Margaret Thatcher, they had queens.
In well, I mean, we have Lindsey Graham. Come on.
Wow, that's true.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Championship game.
Coming up for a lot of folks, I'm sure. Congratulations, Bucky Badger. The basketball team going to be in action tomorrow night against BYU. And, of course, we've got all kinds of state boys basketball activity happening just down the road from my studio at the Kohl Center. Good luck to all the teams. Good luck to all the families and fans that are going to make their way to the Kohl Center. Welcome back, everybody. I'm the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report on this, the 21st day of March. Let me tell you what I can. Let's see, on this day back in 1952, the world's first rock and roll concert was held, Cleveland, Ohio. At that time, it was a DJ that presented the concert, but it pretty much closed down after only one song because of overcrowding. Now you know why. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame's in Cleveland, Ohio, started on this day back in 1952. On this day, 2006, a guy named Jack Dorsey sent out the world's first Twitter message or a tweet. And now look where we've come. In 2012, the last time they measured, there were about 340 million tweets posted a day. Happy birthday, Twitter, started on this day back in 2006. A couple more happy birthdays for you. Gary Oldman is 67 today. Matthew Ferris Bueller Broderick, he is 63. And actress, comedian Rosie O'Donnell, she's 63 years young today. And now you know. Hey, guess what? We don't know a lot about Wisconsin's geographic makeup. I mean, everybody can take a look at a map and venture a guess, but there's not been any real scientific data out there to help elected officials and others understand our makeup. Are we rural? Are we urban? What kind of combination have we come up with? Well, that's until a recently released report from the Rural Policy Institute put numbers to Wisconsin's makeup. The Rural Policy Institute is headed by Bob Welch as their executive director. I got a chance to visit with him and asked him to start by explaining what the Rural Policy Institute is all about.
Yeah, this came together with several people having the same idea at once, which is, you know, nobody's really looking into rural issues as rural issues. And there's sort of a missing think tank in Wisconsin and maybe in a wider area, quite frankly. We here at the Welch Group, who work with a lot of farm groups, together with Farm Bureau, with the Towns Association and the Rural Electric Co-ops, all sat down and said, you know, what should this look like? And we kind of came up with this idea of the Rural Policy Institute. We've since expanded to a lot of other folks we're talking to about it. And again, we're not going to be an advocacy group saying, hey, legislators, vote for something. But we are going to be exploring issues and letting people know what's going on in rural Wisconsin and, you know, putting some real meat behind the stories so that, you know, you can say, hey, this is a scientific fact. This is what we came up with here at the Rural Policy Institute. That's the idea.
Bob Welch, executive director of the recently formed Rural Policy Institute. They have just released a comprehensive look at what Wisconsin is made up of. Are we rural? Are we urban? What is the combination? The title of the project, The Rural-Urban Balance in Wisconsin. You can take a look at the details yourself. Pop on over to ruralpolicyinstitute.org. ruralpolicyinstitute.org. Also available on their LinkedIn account. And share it. Don't just consume it yourself. Share it with those that are decision makers in your community and beyond. That's kind of the goal of the Rural Policy Institute. I'm sure we'll be talking with those folks and following up with the Rural Policy Institute next week. We've got Ag Day at the Capitol coming up on the 26th. Coming up next, quick look at the markets as we roll our way into a Friday trade session.
In our world of agriculture, weather conditions rule our workday. The Midwest Farm Report and the National Weather Service are recruiting citizen scientists to help keep an eye on Mother Nature. You can help by taking real-time weather observations and alerting the National Weather Service about severe weather occurring where you are. Everyday people such as yourself play a vital role in protecting lives and property. To find out how you can become a citizen scientist, visit WisconsinWeatherWatchers.org.
Rising energy costs impacting your farm's profits?
Focus on Energy is here to help with increased incentives for energy-efficient upgrades in 2025. Save money and energy for years to come.
Take the first step toward lowering utility bills. Call 800-762-7077 or visit focusonenergy.com/agribusiness today.
That's focusonenergy.com/agribusiness. Focus on Energy, proudly supporting Wisconsin farmers since 2001.
Well, the applications have started to flow in to our County Farm Service Agency offices for the recently announced ECAP program, Economic Crop Assistance Program, $10 billion from the federal government headed to the nation's farmers to offset financial losses they suffered primarily because of weather events last year. And in Wisconsin, that included a lot of wet weather that may have prevented some farms from getting all their acres planted. I talked about it yesterday with Greg Biba. He is the state program director for USDA's Farm Service Agency offices, and he explained a little bit more about the math calculations that their offices are using and that you might want to use if you're filling out your application.
It's pretty simple calculation. Acreage that is planted for harvest, grazing, whether it was haying, silage, those acres, it's just simply those acres reported times that payment rate times 85% this first go around. And in the two wet areas where maybe they prevent it from planting and they reported those acres into us, they are eligible, but only up to 50% of that acreage is eligible.
Greg Biba, State Program Director for our USDA Farm Service Agency offices. Now, listen, there's no rush to make application. They'll be accepting your applications into August, according to Biba. And his local staff have already electronically begun to fill out some of your paperwork because they have your 2024 crop report already in hand. So just something to think about. But if you're visiting your local Farm Service Agency office, dairy farmers, remember, March 31st is the deadline to apply for dairy margin coverage. And don't forget, mid-April, ARC or PLC. Got to make a decision. So if you're going into the office for ECAP applications, you might as well slow down and fill out the other paperwork as well. But do make an appointment before you show up. Do make an appointment. That's advice from Biba as well. All righty, let's take a look at what's happening in the markets in overnight electronic trade. Yesterday, the dairy complex turned out to be pretty quiet. Barrel cheese was unchanged at 156.5. 40-pound block cheese gained a penny and a half at 162. Double A butter, that was unchanged, 229.5 per pound. Now, this morning, our May corn is currently down 2.5 at 466. December new crops down a penny at 452. May soybeans are down 2 at 1011. November new crop down 3 at 1007. July wheat down a penny right now at 572. The April class 3 milk that goes into cheese up 11 at 1704. May up 6, 1724 a hundredweight. Hey, the Farmer Angel Network is trying something new this spring. Their book club series. According to Dorothy Harms, who's the coordinator for the Farmer Angel Network, they want to bring up conversations about mental health in the rural community, specifically our farm families. The series begins on Monday, March 24th, next Monday, runs from 6 until 7:30 p.m. You can join them in person at the Sauk Prairie Healthcare Hospital or online at farmerangelnetwork.com. If you register and you're one of the first 20 to register, they are going to provide you a free book. Farmerangelnetwork.com under their events tab gives you the rundown on the Monday meetings, March 24th discussion questions focused on challenges of family farming. March 31st, discussion about the future of family farming. And on April 7th, Brian Reisinger, a farm guy himself, will introduce you to a special book that he's written. Go to farmerangelnetwork.com under their events tab and get registered for this special book club series.
Can't get enough farm news? The stories you hear and more 24/7 at MidwestFarmReport.com. Stay tuned as we'll be right back.
News from the center, WRCE. Matt Nair on air.
You may say to yourself, self, what if I want to contact Doge and let him know that I'm unhappy with these cuts?
Do you know who had the same idea? Congressman Mark Pocan.
We couldn't get that number off the Doge website, and they literally just said that there is no one that you can speak to, and they didn't provide anything.
The administration of transparency. But you can't talk to anybody. That's okay.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Mary Mack, you were supposed to be on the show about 3 weeks ago, but I got really sick. Like, I slept on a mattress that you might have driven to the dump.
Still like last time, I am actively smuggling in mattresses from Minnesota because they recycle them for free.
You should probably keep that on the download.
Well, yeah, but how am I going to get any business unless I start talking about it, Pete?
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. Pete Schwalbe.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome This Week in Waukesha host Don Brown and Milwaukee native and writer-director of Just a Bit Outside, Sean Hanisch. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Soybean Marketing Board, and actually I'm catching him right at the tail end of a really critical conversation focused in on what's going on with the end products that our Wisconsin soybeans are ending up in, namely maybe fuels. It could be biodiesel. We're looking a lot at jet fuel, but it takes a whole system to make those things happen. Steve's joining me now from the Transportation Go conference happening in the Twin Cities. Tell him a little bit about what this conference is all about, Steve. And you've been a regular attendee at this one.
That is correct. So this conference basically focuses on the logistics of what I would say is farming. So for many of us on our farm operations, we understand getting our crop into the field, growing it, getting it out of the field, but then it goes to our end-use destination, whether that be an ethanol plant, a grain elevator, could be any of a number of factors, and then we kind of forget about it. And the focus of this conference is how do we take our end-use products and get them to where they need to go on the global stage, whether that's domestic, abroad, you name it, could be anywhere. And the complexity involved in that is something that I know I can say for myself, I've not probably given a fair amount of due diligence to. And I would think a lot of our farmer customers probably would be surprised to understand all the logistics that go into moving our crops throughout the supply chain.
Yeah, you mentioned that you've attended this conference essentially for the last 4 years. And as I look at the agenda, you're not dealing with one element of transportation. It's over the road. It's the rail. It's also by vessel, maritime. And you said it takes a little while to connect all the dots on how tightly woven that transportation system really is.
That is true. So this is the fourth year that the conference has happened, and it moves around every year. We've actually had this in Milwaukee a couple of years ago. This year we're in Minneapolis. We'll see where we go next year. But to bring together some of the key players in transportation from rail, from maritime, shipping, and to get them into a room and to discuss the challenges, the opportunities. One, it's neat to see. And two, it makes me as a farmer and someone on the marketing board think about how can we continue to support, allocate resources to ensure that we're aligned to help get our products out into the world market. Because more so soybeans than corn, our domestic supply is growing, but we need to get exports. We need to get to that global area to maintain the product moving as we build what we have here in the U.S. to be a more robust domestic area going forward. But we're not there yet today.
You know, what a perfect time to be exposed to these leaders in this side of our industry, Steve, with the swirling, fluid conversations on tariffs, et cetera. Give me a sense. What was their tone? What are they thinking? What do our farmers need to know about the conversations you leaned in on that could be impacting them this growing season?
Well, that's a great question, and it's one that doesn't get an easy, clear-cut response and answer because it's complicated. And right now, there's a huge amount of unknowns. We hear what our current administration says, and maybe we can infer some policy, but there's just a significant amount of unknown. And I don't think we will say that's good or that's bad. Certainly our markets do like a level of certainty, but we're in a little bit of a change right now. And where I think we come in as producers of corn, soybeans, and you name the commodity, as well as those people that are on our boards for our commodities, is we need to continue to be in front of the people making the decisions in Washington, D.C. So that could be any one of us picking up the phone and calling a representative and making our own points and values known. And it could be as much as connecting with your trade organizations and ensuring that they know the needs as we continue to represent our growers and constituents into D.C. with our association arms as well. Because a lot of things are happening, and I do believe ag is in a very good spot. Whether we always like the rhetoric that comes out of D.C., Middle America did help put our current administration into office, and I do think there's a strong opportunity to work back and forth. But if we don't step up to the plate and work with the rest of our industry to make sure that happens, things might happen that weren't as expected or planned.
Yeah, Steve Wilkins along with us, if you're just joining us. He is on the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board, the Secretary Treasurer. If you want to find out more about how your checkoff dollars are being invested, research, education, and promotion, wisoybean.org can connect you to that, wisoybean.org. And that's one area, Steve, where people may want an update on something kind of Wisconsin-specific. The Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board has leaned in trying to gather information on, say, for example, the Port of Milwaukee. Here we are with Lake Superior and Lake Michigan right at our borders, and Wisconsin Soybean Board members have been leaders in trying to figure out how to capitalize on that. Did that come up at all during this gold transportation seminar?
Oh, it absolutely did. I mean, if we look at the Great Lakes as a whole or the Great Lawrence Seaway, that in and of itself would be the third largest economy in the world if we look at the opportunity and the business that can happen there. So that's a significant driver of rural prosperity that we can continue to access and tap into and essentially grow. I don't know the exact number, but I think it was something like a $60 billion economic impact comes from that seaway, and some of that's agricultural products, but we want a lot more of that to be agricultural products. So I say that because on the soybean board, we have and we continue to fund and to put as much resource and efforts into our ports as we can. Specifically for us, it would be Milwaukee and Duluth, and we've seen some successes. I think many of us know and are aware that DeLong's put a very nice facility of a couple of years ago in a phase one. I know there's going to be a phase two to that. That's going to be occurring very shortly. And the goal there is to get additional crops outside of what's currently being handled to be more robust, to handle more exports. And we're starting to get some vessels that are going from Milwaukee to Europe. If we think back about half a year ago, we sponsored a trip to go over to Antwerp and Rotterdam and some markets in Europe to try to get some access going. And we've had a couple of ships leave Milwaukee and go out over there. So it's not where we want to be or where we aspire, but it's a start, and we're moving in the right direction.
Good news. Steve Wilkins, one of the members of the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board, talking with us at the Transportation Go Conference held up in the Twin Cities. Appreciate it, Steve. 4 years of dedicated service to listening to those messages. Want to find out more about how your soybean checkoff dollars are being invested? Pop on over to wisoybean.org. Have a great weekend. Go, Bucky, go. We'll talk to you on Monday.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke. News from the Center, WRCE.
Farm Rescue makes sure that you aren't alone. They're there to extend the hand and to take the burden.
Even the most independent farmers need help sometimes, and asking for that help is protecting the future. Farm Rescue provides equipment and volunteers free of charge to assist in times of crisis. We're currently accepting applications for planting and haying assistance. If you or someone you know could use our help, call 701-252-2017 or visit farmrescue.org.
The destructive impact of stress. Today on Farm to Fork.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
Tractor rollovers are one of the most common causes of farm deaths and injuries. One simple device helps reduce the danger significantly, a rollover protective structure. Standard on most new tractors, but they're also available to add to many older tractor models. Farm safety and health is everyone's business. This reminder is brought to you by Farm to Fork, through the generous support of listeners like you across the country. Learn how you can help at NorthShoreProductions.com.
Farming and ranching tends to rank among the top 10 most stressful occupations in the United States.
That's Sean Brotherson, a professor and extension family science specialist with North Dakota State University.
Incidents of stress-related health concerns tend to be higher in agricultural populations, and there are also higher levels of mental and behavioral health concerns.
Brotherson points to economic concerns on the farm as a prime source for stress.
Those economic stresses then tend to spill over into the personal well-being of individuals, and so those higher rates of physical and mental health-related concerns, more strained relationships, conflict in relationships, things like that with family members, and also spilling out into the lives of children, youth, and communities.
There can be some resistance to get help, says Brotherson.
People ask me, what is the best way to get people, you know, especially men in agriculture, willing to participate in agricultural counseling supports? And my answer is very short. It's women. It may be a spouse or a significant other, a sister, an aunt, a grandmother, a mother, who is cracking the door and saying, I think this would be helpful for you.
That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time as we continue on location from Richland Center, Wisconsin. We'll have the general manager of WRCO, WRCE, Phil Nee, and host of Those Were the Days, and look at our brackets. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. The Todd Albaugh Show.
Let's go to Ollie in the North Woods. Ollie, hiccups or gas, what's worse?
Well, I'd like to frame my answer in the form of a sport. It depends upon whether you're a passer or a receiver.
That's great. Whether you're the passer or the receiver, that's the best line of the day.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Dom Salvia Show.
Musk is so arrogant that he is even intervening right here in the state of Wisconsin.
Republican Rep. Brian Stile said in a statement that Sanders was on a fear-mongering tour. Maybe you should be afraid when billionaires can buy the presidency, when billionaires can buy elections. I think that's a little scary. And I think so. We the people should do something about it.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRC.
Start your day off on the right foot with great local programming on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE.
On our morning show today, Sally Probasca is here, and she is out here to make sure that all artists in the area are aware of an upcoming show in the Richland Center and Spring Green areas. It will be at Wyoming Valley Cultural Arts Center again this year with some special features. The entry and payment for all artists' work is coming up Saturday, March 29th, and each artist can enter up to 2 pieces of art items. There also will be artwork due on Saturday, April 5th,